Welcome to the jungle, live in Southern California. I am Jim Rome. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. What's cracking? Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so much to get done today. Lots to cover. Let's get right at it. Your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Right off the very top, the NFL announcing this morning that three Tennessee Titans and five team personnel members have tested positive for COVID. So my thoughts on that momentarily. That is breaking news, though, and I want to hit that right off the very top. In the meantime, you have your telephone number. You know where to find me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. That works across our social media platforms. Also on Instagram, you can mess with my Facebook page, which you always do. You know how to find me, so pick up the phone, hit us up on social, or if you want to go old school, email the show at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. In terms of the interviews coming up at 40 past, Miami Dolphins running back Miles Gaskin, hour number one. Top of hour number two, a linebacker for the 49ers, Fred Warner. In hour number two as well, Patriots defensive end, Dietrich Wise Jr. So, three interviews all in the first half of the program. 1-800-636-8686. So, again, the league announcing this morning that three Tennessee Titan players and five team personnel members have tested positive for COVID. And while there have been false positives in the past, this is not the case here. And I want to take a few moments and talk a little bit later on about exactly what that means to those teams, to the Minnesota Vikings, who had played them last week, and what that might mean going forward to this weekend. The NFL has done an extremely good job so far, but you had to think at some point something like this was going to happen. The question is, do they just power through? Do they play through? And we will get to that momentarily. I also want to talk about that matchup last night. The Monday night matchup, Kansas City and Baltimore. In fact, when you look at that matchup last night, I think that can be summed up in a single tweet from Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark. Frank Clark tweeted, quote, "Kicked in they door and took all they bleep," end quote. Once again, he tweeted that last night. "Kicked in they door and took all they bleep." What an amazing tweet. Hey, Frank, thanks. Thank you very much for that. Perfectly said. Because that is exactly what Kansas City did. They got on a plane. They flew to Baltimore. They kicked in the door. And they took all of the Ravens' bleep. Or as the late Pat Tillman used to say, that was a nice, swift ass-kicking.
Nice, swift ass-kicking.
Or as another wise man once said, KC's plan was, quote, to go in there, hit him with some good bleep, don't get hit, and come home with a pocket full of cash. That wise man.
Go in there, hit him with some good shit, don't get hit, come home with a pocket full of cash.
My man Nate, what's up? Kansas City did not just win that game 34-20 and give themselves an edge in the race for the top seed in the AFC. They beat the crap out of Baltimore. They humiliated Baltimore again. That was a humbling. KC walked into Baltimore's house. They tracked mud all over their carpets. They put the feet on the furniture. They raided their fridge. They slammed their beer. They smashed their grub. Then they looked at the Ravens and said, "The hell are you going to do about that? The hell are you going to do about that?" Yeah, that's what I thought. And then they walked out. Because they didn't do a thing. Because they couldn't do a thing. And honestly, no, I did not see that coming. Not this time, but I should have. 34-20 is a 14-point beatdown, and it still was a lot closer than that game really felt. If Kansas City does not get conservative in the second half, they easily could have put 50 on Baltimore and that proud defense. If Patrick Mahomes wanted to put 50 or more on the Ravens, he would have. Because Mahomes pretty much does whatever the hell Mahomes wants.
Mahomes?
Whenever the hell he wants. To whomever the hell he wants. Especially to the Ravens. Speaking of which, you know all that talk about that rivalry between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson? Yeah, well, we can go ahead and stop wasting our time on that rivalry because there is no rivalry there. Not now, there's not. Not when Patrick is 3-0 versus Lamar. Not when Patrick is at his best versus the Ravens and Lamar is at his worst versus the Chiefs. Because that's how it went again last night. And yes, I'm calling him Patrick, not Pat, not even Patty, just Patrick. Because his mom made it very clear last night that his name is Patrick. And after everything I saw, he deserves to be called whatever he wants to be called. I mean, going to that game, there was a ton of talk about how this was going to be the game of the season, a battle between the two best teams in the NFL. And if that really was a battle between the two best teams in the NFL, you may as well just give KC another Lombardi right now. Like that first quarter, not exactly the offensive explosion that everybody expected. You had Justin Tucker in a field goal, and you had a Patrick Mahomes touchdown run. But then things started to get rolling in the second quarter. As we like to say in horse racing, that's when the real running began. And that's when the Chiefs ran the Ravens right out of their yard, starting with this play from KC on the Raven 5-yard line.
They shift Hill to the backfield. Mahomes shovels it underneath. Anthony Sherman the catch, and he takes it in. Touchdown! Some trickery from the Chiefs, and it pays off. Mahomes, he can do it from every angle. A little underhand toss to the fullback.
It's almost like an underhand softball pitch. You know, like the fast pitch, like underhand it. He just kind of whips it in there, and there's not a Raven around.
Westwood One on the call. Quick question. The hell was that? The hell was that? No, seriously, what the hell was that? An underhand pass to the fullback for a touchdown. Who does that? Who does that? I mean, damn, Pat. Patrick? The freaking audacity. The awesomeness. Man, that was incredible. And hilarious at the same time. If you're a defense, you never want to give up a TD, but you really do not want to give up a TD on an underhand shovel pass to a fullback. I mean, it still counts for 7, but it feels so much worse. 7 points on the scoreboard, but there really is no way to quantify the humiliation that comes along with being on the wrong side of that, especially a proud D like the Ravens at home. But then KC tempted fate. They went with a short kickoff, and that did not work out so well, did it?
Bucker left to right, end over end, high kick, fielded by Duvernay at the 6. Angles to the right to the 15, 20, 25, 30. Duvernay down the sideline. He could go. Duvernay, the rookie, 25-20. He's gone. Touchdown, 94 yards. Devin Duvernay turns on the Jets, and the Ravens are right back in it.
And for a moment, it looked like we had ourselves a shootout. I even tweeted as much. For a moment, it looked like Baltimore was in that game, and we were going to get that battle, that brawl that everybody expected. But it never materialized. It never happened because Patrick Mahomes spent the rest of the half carving up Baltimore's defense. There was this touchdown to Tyreek Hill.
9 here for Kansas City. Fake the handoff. Mahomes steps up, floats one, end zone, right side, leaping attempt. Hauled in, Tyreek Hill, touchdown. Kansas City with Mahomes putting together a perfect throw.
It's actually pronounced Mahomes. And then he made Mahomes. Another perfect throw to Mecole Hardman.
Mahomes takes the snap, deep drop, deep ball, uncorks it, right side, separation, catch made, touchdown. Mecole Hardman, 49-yard strike. Mahomes to Hardman.
Hey, listen, don't be fooled by that TD. The Chiefs made that look so easy, but that's not so easy. I mean, not for a normal team, because that was 3rd and 14. That was not a first or second down shot down the field. That was a brass play call on 3rd and 14. I love it. A tremendous call. Perfectly executed to pick on Marcus Peters and his tendencies. You know, tempt him to jump that route, to stop the first down, then beat him over the top. Toast.
Is toast.
At that point, 27-10 KC, and things were only getting worse for Baltimore because while Patrick Mahomes was putting on a clinic, Lamar Jackson was having a nightmare. Another bad night for Lamar. KC had Baltimore's passing game locked up, and then they came after him for a strip sack.
I feel like they have to get some points here before halftime. Raiders taking their time, too. Chiefs get pressure with four. The ball came out. Chris Jones knocked the ball free, and it looks like Kansas City has recovered. Ben Neiman comes up with the football. Chris Jones knocked it free.
Is Jones any good? Is he very important? At that point, up 17. With the ball at midfield, it looked like KC could name their score. Instead, they miss a field goal. They sort of let Baltimore back into the game briefly in the second half. But the ultimate statement was coming in the fourth quarter. With the score 27-20 and the ball on the Baltimore 2, my man, Eric Bieniemy, dials this up.
First and goal from the 2. Deep drop. Mahomes, floater, left side. Wide open! Eligible Eric Fisher. It's a big man touchdown for Kansas City.
I mean, that right there, play of the game. Just mark it down. If we have a play of the game, I don't know if we have a play of the game, but I'm making that the play of the game.
Always FGTD. 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 Fat guy touchdown. The greatest play in all of sports. If the Jets or the Giants were smart, they would have hired Bieniemy as their head coach before he got off the field and flew right back to KC last night. But of course, they aren't, so they didn't. Man, I don't care how bad your day is going. I really do not care how bad your day is going when you see a big man like that getting his meat hooks on a ball and scoring a TD. Man, you can't help but laugh. That would put a big-ass smile on anybody's face. Unless, of course, you're playing for the Ravens, and then there's nothing funny about that. Because that was the end of an embarrassing, humiliating night for them. The fat guy TD. Patrick Mahomes throws for 385 yards, 4 touchdowns. He runs for 26 and another. And it looked, as always, like Patty. Patrick wasn't even trying. Wasn't even trying. He made it all look easy. And then there was that perform. Struggling. The Ravens were struggling, and Patrick was
struggling.
Shrugging. He completed passes to 8 different guys, including an underhand pass to a fullback and a floater to a left tackle, and he did it against one of the best defenses in the league, allegedly. He did that to a very proud defense, most definitely. You know they had that one circled on that calendar. You know how badly they wanted the Chiefs in their house. You know, badly they wanted to send a message. The only ones sending the message were the Chiefs and Patrick. And then all the Ravens could do when it was over was shake their damn heads. Calais Campbell said it best.
I mean, you know, they don't give that guy $500 million for no reason.
It's a good point, my man. They don't give that guy $500 million for no reason. Truth. And the thing is, that $500 million is a bargain. KC got a discount. If anything, Mahomes is underpaid, even at $500 million. Yes, I said it, because I mean it, and it's true. Because as much credit and respect as Mahomes gets, I'm not even sure it's enough. Seriously, people need to stop and take note of what this guy is doing, because this is not supposed to happen. He's shattering records almost every single time he steps on the field, and he makes it all look so easy. Like they're just out there running around on the playground and not on the biggest stage, not against the best players and coaches in the world. And he's doing it in what amounts to, what, their third preseason game. Can you imagine what's going to happen when they really get this thing rolling this year? He was just toying with Baltimore's defense last night, just like he always does. And KC, as a team, just snatched Baltimore's souls like they always do. That's not an exaggeration. That's not a figure of speech. That's a fact. And as much as KC will tell you that last night was only one game, for Baltimore, that was way more than one game. It's a trend. It's a major concern. You know, there's that issue that on those rare occasions when they do fall behind, they never seem to get back in it. They seem to lose their identity. They don't really come back on anybody when they fall behind. And then there's the more obvious fact, they just can't beat the Chiefs. They just can't deal with Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson didn't even crack 100 yards passing. He said it best when he called KC, quote, our kryptonite.
It's like kryptonite.
They are like kryptonite.
It's like kryptonite.
It's exactly what they are. Like, Baltimore is a really good team, but when they face KC, they get wrecked every time. And their coach, John Harbaugh, knows it.
They beat us. They out-executed us. They out-game-planned us. They just beat us. So that's the story tonight. Big picture stuff, all that, I don't know. They're better, obviously. They're a better football team at this point in time.
Man, he gets that stuff so much better than his brother. Like, brother. His brother gets done by Ohio State every single time and never says that. John gets it. John knows. He said, the only thing that I would disagree with, he said, they're the better football team right now. Actually, they're the better football team every time the two of you meet, not just this point in time. At this point, they are the better team. At every point when you two meet, they are the better team. And at this point, they're not just better than Baltimore. Kansas City is better than everybody, and it's not even close. How about those Chiefs? How about my man Andy Reid? How about Patrick Mahomes? How about Eric Bieniemy? Man, that was a serious statement last night. 1-800-636-8686. Other things I do want to talk about, the Titans and the outbreak and what the NFL does about that now. Come to find out, Steve Ballmer was not okay with the Clippers laying down the way they did. It cost Doc Rivers his gig. So is that the right move or the wrong move? I want to get into that. NBA Finals getting underway tomorrow night. I want to talk about that. Major League Baseball postseason getting underway. I would like to talk about that as well. I want to go back to this past weekend and the UFC fight card. We talked about Israel Adesanya. There is more to it. We broke down his big win over Paulo Costa. Apparently, Costa saw the tape and did not like what he saw. Apparently, he didn't like Izzy styling the win. Styling the win is one thing. Mock humping an opposition is another, allegedly. And Mike Leach feeling right at home in the SEC. I got to go all the way back to Saturday for that, and I'll try and work that in for you, too. Miles Gaskin coming up later on this hour. Fred Warner coming up next hour. Dietrich Wise Jr. coming up next hour. And coming up this segment, a very important message. I got a question for y'all. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so freaking good? Well, there is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic clear view packages. You see exactly what you're buying. And every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef. Seasoned with top quality spices to the real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every bite. And Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouthwatering flavors. There's Old Fashioned with a hint of brown sugar sweetness. There's teriyaki. There's peppered. And for those of you looking for a little zing, there's Hot and Spicy. It's chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings, and it provides real sustained energy. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. So make it part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, so how about some phone calls that work today? How about some phone calls that work today? Not phone calls, but phone calls that work today. How about phone calls that work on any day? 1-800-636-8686. All right, at JJ Sportmo tweets, Pat Mahomes and company are so damn good, they make a special talent like Lamar Jackson just look average. More Andy Reid getting a huge cheeseburger today. See, that's a thing. Lamar Jackson did not look average. He looked below average. He threw for 97 yards.
Not good.
Not good.
Below not good.
And that's not what I expected. I said it yesterday. I thought there would be a close game, but I did like the Ravens. I thought they would impose their will. I thought they'd be too physical. I really did like them last night. In fact, I didn't like them to win big, but I liked them to win small a lot, if that makes sense. I felt really good about that. And then KC does what KC does. Patrick was definitely looking to send a statement last night. Message received. Hey, Rome, it's been so nice to get sports back. Baseball, football, basketball, and golf have definitely eased some of the pain and misery from the pandemic. But when the hell is hockey coming back? You would think they would want to give it a try with every other league pulling it off. Why hasn't hockey dropped the puck yet? Signed everybody ever who still has no idea that hockey just wrapped up a season because nobody cares. War hockey finishing a Stanley Cup in secret despite being on national basic cable last night. War hockey getting the same attention whether it's played or not. War hockey going to great lengths to finish the season and no one noticing it even though it came back. Signed Vincent in the San Gabriel Valley off the 10. Sort of funny, I guess, Vince. Not at all true. Sort of amusing, Vince. Hey, Rome. Everyone better listen to Patrick Mahomes' mother. You wouldn't want her to call up a nationally syndicated radio station to set the record straight. Signed, Georgie Pappas' mother. Matt in Poland Springs. Where's my sound, Alvy? He said you wouldn't want her to call up a nationally syndicated radio station. A nationally syndicated radio station. That's a little confusing, Matt. And normally, I'm not about moms of athletes, but that's actually not true. I am about moms. Now, not in a mom sort of way. Not like that. Not like that sounds. Normally, I just don't want family members speaking on behalf of athletes. However, there have been some famous athlete moms on the program. Georgie Pappas' mom, as an example. Also, let's never forget the best rap ever from a mom. Some of the moms work. At least in the college game. All right, this has been a very one-sided fight so far. There really has been no sport in this. I mean, if anything, I should pull this guy off the other guy. It's not going well for the other guy. I'm talking about that jungle beef. That one-sided jungle beef. There is no rivalry. There is no rivalry if the other guy keeps winning. I'm talking about Chris in southeastern Wisco and Jerome in Houston. Every time Chris in southeastern Wisco calls, he makes it worse for Jerome. Every time Jerome tries to respond, he makes it worse for Jerome. And yet he continues. Let's go to southeastern Wisco, Chris. What's going on, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How about yourself?
Perfect. Great. Thank you.
That's awesome. Say, Jim, I felt compelled to double back and keep my promise to tie up some unfinished business. And that is to directly address that degenerate hillbilly from H-Town, Slarome. I thought I was being thoughtful and kind to the old-timer. I was just trying to warn him of the inevitable, which happened in spite of my good intentions when he ran his golden ticket through the paper shredder at warp speed. It's a really embarrassing look to be north of 60 years old and still be living by the wake-and-bake code. I mean, let's get real here, man. You call a show that is approximately 2 million listeners, and while on hold, you manage to drink so much cheap whiskey that your head basically caves in. But no, you don't stop there. In an attempt to sober up, you smoke a crap load of wizard cabbage and doze off while waiting to get on the show. When you hit the airwaves, obviously hammered and stoned, you make a futile and embarrassing attempt to right the ship by trying to flex and talk about something you probably just learned watching a Wheel of Fortune rerun. explaining what an acronym means to you, Jim, you're horrified and disgusted that you are so wasted, Jerome. WTF, since you like acronyms. But you still weren't done. You follow that up with the most ridiculous statement claiming to have an IQ of 180. Just for a point of reference, genius, Albert Einstein had an approximate IQ of 160. So you're boasting an IQ of 180? Sounds about right, but only if you meant for the entire student body of five that probably attended your one-room schoolhouse. Slurome, just to show you there are no hard feelings and I still want to help you, I've decided to treat you to a tattoo so you can commemorate your epic crash and burn. So just show up at the tat shop. The ink is for your forehead, and it reads Surgeon General's Warning. May cause headaches, nausea, extreme boredom, and IQ shrinkage. Ask clowns like you have a grave threat to the health and well-being of Jim, the X4TI bros, and the clones in general. Slurome, hope you enjoyed your nice, swift ass-kicking. Wore Ritz's new side hustle giving tours in his driveway of his James Naismith replica basketball hoop. And wore the Chicago Bears, the monsters of the Midway, finally ending the Tebow 2.0 experiment once and for all. Deuces, Jim!
Oh, man. It goes without saying, Alvy, do what you do. Rack that call.
Rack him!
My guy, Slurome, stay down. Stay down. Stay down, Slurome. Slurome is the Ravens. Chris in southeastern Wisco is KC. But worse, I think. My man, Slurome, I'm coming from a place of love and respect. Stay the hell down. You don't want any more of that. You don't want any more of that. The clones do, but you don't. Stay down. It's like he keeps trying to get up and this guy's just stomping on his head. Stay down. When we come back, Jerome, stay down. Miles Gaskin joins me next. We're talking Dolphins football. Running back Miles Gaskin coming up in about 10 minutes. I've got Fred Warner at the top of the hour. Chris, man, you really enjoying yourself? There is no sport in that, right? You got to move on to somebody else. Who's next? You don't want to be in that guy's crosshairs. He definitely will be a part of next year's Smack-Off. Fred Warner at the top, Dietrich Wise Jr. next hour, third hour's open. Right now, here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday is an NFL and CBS doubleheader with Brady's Bucks hosting the Chargers. And then you've got, well, two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe with the Steelers and the Titans. And we'll see about that one. In the second game, most of you will see Cam and the Patriots in Kansas City for a meeting with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Coverage does get underway on the NFL today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. And I will be making a return to the program. The NFL on CBS, 12 noon Eastern on Sunday, 9 a.m. Pacific. And I will be doing my views from Rome that day. And looking forward to it. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. As promised, we are joined right now by a running back for the Miami Dolphins. He had a big game in Thursday's win over Jacksonville. 95 yards from scrimmage for the season. 38 carries for 152 yards. 15 receptions for 91 yards. He was a three-time all-conference selection in college. He left the University of Washington as the school's all-time leading rusher with over 5,300 yards. He had 62 TDs. He was the 234th pick overall in 2019. Miami's 1-2. They've got a big one on Sunday. They're hosting Seattle. Miles Gaskin is my guest. Miles, good to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Good, good. All right, so you beat Jacksonville 31-13 on Thursday after hanging tough with New England and Buffalo. How good did it feel to break through and get that win?
It felt really good. Obviously, two tough losses back-to-back to start out the season. So I think everybody was hungry for it, and it felt really good to have a team win. Defense showed up. Special teams showed up. Offense came down first. Three drives scored. So I think we was putting it together.
It was a nice win. You got a big one coming up on Sunday, as I mentioned, against Seattle. You yourself played a big role in that win, as I mentioned. You had 95 yards from scrimmage. So what was the game plan going into the game, and then how pleased were you with the way the offense executed?
Game plan going in is always just no pre-snap penalties. Do exactly what we did in practice. Do, like, stick to the plan, in the sense of we're going to run the ball, throw the ball, play action. Do we're going to hit on everything when everybody's numbers called, receiver, tight end, running back. Let's do what we do. So just the way it turned out, I was extremely happy because everybody played well. We played together. We talked. We communicated when things didn't go the way we wanted, and we made our adjustments at halftime, and we came back out and did what we did.
We're talking to Dolphins running back Myles Gaskin. And then, of course, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? He had a pretty remarkable night. It felt like the guy was completing pretty much every pass he threw, and then he's hustling downfield. He's blocking on running plays. I mean, this guy's something else. What's it like to play with him?
It's magic, man. I call him Mr. Magic. But it's great. As a young player, last year and this year, he's having a guy that's been around the league, that's played in a lot of different types of games. Just having him in the huddle and seeing him always have a big smile on his face and always kind of remind you of, yeah, this is a very important game. This is a very important job that we have. But at the same time, it is a game that we've been playing since I was 7 years old. So enjoy it. Don't let the moment be too big. And I think he enforces that in all of us just to have fun. Each and every snap. And if it doesn't go your way, just come back, regroup, and get better at the next play. So I love Fitz. I love having him in the huddle.
Yeah, I got to think that attitude is contagious. That's got to impact other guys and rub off on them the right way. Then going into the season opener, the thinking outside the team was that you were number three on the depth chart, but then you got an opportunity and you seized it in the opener against the Patriots. How did you approach the opportunity when it did present itself?
Just stuck to the coaching that they've been preaching all week. Flow. Being at the Patriots previous to the Dolphins just told us a lot about how they play defense and all that. And then just looking back the last year, I didn't play much at all. Played a little bit towards the end of the season, and it was a chip on my shoulder. As a guy that's played a lot of football, I've never been used to riding the bench and just kind of sitting in meetings and just trying to find something to do, in a sense of just trying to get better without playing. And I went over that, and I made sure I felt that feeling throughout this whole offseason. And when I got my opportunity, I tried not to look back. So,
you know what? I was going to ask you about that because as part of the introduction, I mentioned you had an amazing career at Washington. But then you get to the NFL, and that rookie year, as you point out, did not go exactly as you would have hoped. So as you look back on that, to your point, you were used to playing a whole lot of football, and then you didn't. What was the experience like? How did you or what did you learn from that? What was your takeaway from that?
It was a learning experience, in the sense of just learning the game of the NFL, the big stage, being able to watch guys. Like when we played the Cowboys, I was super excited to watch Zeke. Just kind of watching other dudes around the league, watching guys in my room, and being able to tell myself, hey, my coaches don't think I'm ready, and that's on me, so let's get ready as much as I can so when my number is called, like I said, I don't have to look back. I don't ever have to feel like this again. And getting picked in the seventh round, just another chip on my shoulder. Just those two things was just a big thing for me. Whether it wasn't I did something wrong through the draft process or I wasn't ready one way or another, I just try to make sure that I was ready. I was over-prepared. Just make sure I'm over-prepared and just not take anything for granted. I mean, I love a game of football, and when you watch it from the sideline, it hurts just in the sense of just not being able to play out there and not being able to enjoy the moments, be able to help your brothers, help your team. And I just want to stay on the field and just keep on getting better each and every week.
And credit to you. That's a great perspective. That's great ownership right there. Miles Gaskin joining us. I thought you had a great line recently, too, when you talked about what it was like in college. Like, when you're in college, you've got a lot of different kinds of responsibilities that are not football-related. There's school. There's other stuff you have to do. But then once you get to the NFL, quote, you're able to make my body my assignment, in a sense, just taking care of it to the best of my abilities, and I think it's just a mindset, end quote. So what about that? How do you go about making sure your body is your assignment? And now how would you describe your mindset?
Just being able to listen to your body. You got the strength coach, you got the strength staff with the Dolphins, and you got to work out every day. But it's not so much about, oh, I'm a kind of like that high school, college mindset. Let's just get as big as possible, you know, just bench and squat all day. You need to work your core. You need to work everything. You need to make sure you're flexible. You need to make sure you can do everything that is asked from you on the field. Make sure you had a fast twitch. Some days you might go hard and practice a few days, and then you realize you get into the game and you need to recover. If that's an ice bath, or is that a massage, or whatever it may be, just being able to listen to your body, being able to learn from your body too. Sometimes you're going to make a mistake. Maybe you shouldn't have done a workout. Maybe you should have done this. Maybe you should have done a workout. And I think I took those couple things into account, especially when I wasn't playing. Every Sunday when I wasn't playing, I tried to act like, hey, what would I feel like if I was playing? How would I feel? Am I ready to go today? Am I ready if I was going to be stepping on that field? And just kind of going through that last year was, like I said, just a learning experience, trying to learn everything. So when when the time did come, I was ready. And just taking that step out of being a young man in college, kind of having all the fun in the world while playing football, you know, just living the college life to being in the NFL and realizing, hey, this is my job. This is what I've been dreaming about since, like I said, 7 years old. And let's not waste the moment. Time is of the essence. So.
Yeah, like a professional. We're talking to Miles Gaskin for a few more moments, running back for the Miami Dolphins. But then again, hard work is nothing new to you. For example, there's this story that back when you were a freshman in high school, you were looking for a place to work out, and that's when you found Tracy Ford and the Ford Sports Performance. What were the workouts like there in the early days?
In the early days, man, shout out Tracy. But in the early days, I was getting it out the mud, for real. Just really, like I said, on the high school tip, when you're young and you can kind of bounce back from whatever, just lifting, running, competing every day. Often there's Buddha Baker used to go there. Miles Jack used to go there. A lot of guys that went to UW went there, would work out there. So obviously the weight room, but competing every single day. If it's in the weight room, if it's running, if it's cone work, if it's drill work, talking trash, competing with some of the best dudes in the state that went on to be, I mean, Buddha, you can say, is one of the best safeties in the NFL. Miles Jack, one of the better linebackers in the NFL. So, I mean, it was a high, high competitive atmosphere. Young dudes just chasing their dream. And I give a lot of credit to where I'm at, to that gym right there, just Tracy Ford and what he was able to do for the state of Washington, for the kids that were coming out of the state of Washington trying to chase their dream.
All right, so you're one of those guys coming out of the state of Washington, and then you end up in Miami. You told this great story about when you moved there, you had a day off, so you decided to go to the movies, and since it was sunny, you walked, and then you come out of the movies, and it's pouring rain. What happened then?
Pouring rain. Thought I could tough it out because I'm a Seattle dude. Seattle, it's always raining. But rain never stopped nobody in Seattle, but it's different out here. It's like them tropical storms or whatever. I took off, tried to run back to the hotel, got back to the hotel, realized everything I had on is drenched, phone is broken, not even clicking on at all. It's all black. I knew it was all bad. So that was my lesson, not to out-tough the rain in Florida. So.
Yeah, dude, that was your welcome to Miami moment. So then finally,
exactly. You're
there. Now, there are some alligators. You've seen a few since getting there. What is your approach when you're out walking your dog? I mean, do you stay clear of the canals? Are you okay with the canals? What's the plan in that regard?
Oh, I love the canals. I love seeing, you see the fish, you see the alligator, you see the, like I said, I'm from Washington, you see birds you've never seen, iguanas, a whole bunch of type of stuff. Big old spiders in the trees. So I like to see all that type of stuff. But when I'm walking by the canals, I keep my dog on the leash. keep my distance from the water, but I do peek over, try to see what's going on in there. So, yeah.
Mouse, what kind of dog?
Craigslist dog, a little mutt. I can't even put my name on it, really. She's a good dog, though. I love her.
I love it. Miami Dolphin running back, Miles Gaskin, 95 yards from scrimmage. That nice win over Jacksonville. And they've got a big one at home against Seattle on Sunday. Miles, great to have you on. Appreciate you. Appreciate that story. Thanks so much. That was great.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good job, man. Well done. Miles Gaskin. He was the 234th pick overall in 2019. And again, he had a great college career. So leaves Washington as the school's all-time leading rusher. Over 5,000 yards, 62 TDs, not taken until 234th overall. Rookie year does not go as planned and, like, doesn't sulk, doesn't get down on himself, says there must be a reason for it. There must be a reason why I was taken where I was taken. There must be a reason why I'm not playing right now. I'm going to listen to the coaches. I'm going to get as much out of this as I possibly can. I'm going to learn. I'm going to watch. And then he stayed ready. And then when the time came, he made the most of the opportunity. And he sounds like he already gets it. That's a professional player. Body is temple. That's funny. I thought I was a Washington guy, man. I know rain. I can handle rain. This is a different kind of rain. The tropical rain. It came out, wrecked my phone. I'll tell you what. I don't have a dog right now, but I grew up with dogs. But when I used to have to walk the dogs, I was never concerned about alligators. But then again, I've never lived by a canal. All right, there's hour number one. When we come back, I still need to get into the first COVID outbreak situation involving the Titans. Multiple players, multiple staffers. They're not going back into their facility. So if they're not going to be in their facility, how are they going to practice? And if they're not going to practice, how are they going to play? Or is the NFL just going to pull right through it? We will get into all that. But when we come back, 49ers linebacker Fred Warner joins us. That's coming up next here in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Do not go anywhere.